Good morning. So if you'd like to turn to our reading on page 1216 or in the bold print 1403. And we'll be reading from verse 7. Let's just pray before I read. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is truth. I thank you, Father, that it's the path to life. And Father God, as we come now to study your word, to hear your word, I pray that all hearts be open, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, you will come and you will do a deep work in each and every heart, Lord. I pray that salvation will visit this house today. I pray, Father God, that you would anoint my lips. I pray, Father, that as I stand in your stead, that you would remove me. And that, Father, that only your voice would be heard. Father, let your name be glorified. And let your will be done today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now I am only reading verse 7 to 11. So, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord is coming near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. In most versions of the Bible, verse 7 begins with the word therefore. And one of the problems with our modern day Bibles and the way that they've been constructed is setting out chapter and verse. And though it's great for finding our way around the Word of God and for things like scripture memory, there is a tendency to forget that it wasn't written this way. There's a tendency to follow the convenient headings rather than, as in the case of James, read it as a letter in its entirety. So when the word therefore begins the passage, it's important that we know what has preceded it. In this case, I sense that James is referring to all that he has written, rather than just the past few verses. So let's look quickly at some of the things that James was writing to the early church that we've heard about over the past few weeks. Firstly, many were facing persecution, and James advised them to consider it pure joy when facing trials. He told them that they should get rid of all immorality, to be doers and not just hearers of the word, not to show favouritism to people we deem more important, but to treat all the same, loving our neighbour as ourselves. He warned them that faith without works is dead, and that our faith should produce compassion that leads us to take care of others. He told them that we must tame our tongues, as blessings and curses come from the same mouth. He commends them to be humble, as God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. He says that we must not criticise or define one another. So important is this that he actually warns about it twice in close succession. He tells them not to trust in their own plans, as they don't know anything about the future, but rather say, if the Lord wills, let it be done. And finally, he warns us not to trust in the wealth of the world and the treasures of this life. And I don't know about you, but having read all that, I understand why he says in verse 7 and 8, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. It's not easy being a follower of Christ. In the Gospels we read many warnings that Jesus gave us about having to pick up our cross, that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. In Romans, we're told to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, that we have to forsake this world for a world that we can't see. This walk can be hard, painful, tiring, and at times very lonely and frightening. And at times all we have is hope in his salvation. But for all those who are having to endure, and I know there's many amongst us who are going through various trials, for those whose patience is being tested, listen to the promises, the wonderful promises in Psalm 18 from verse 25. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the devious, you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help I can advance against a troop. With my God I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all those who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make your saving help my shield, and your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great. Wonderful, wonderful promises when we learn to trust in the Lord. There are a couple of warnings in there, and that kind of brings me to my next point. The promises of God, we stand on those, but we also have to heed the warnings of God. But to the devious, you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty, which means proud and arrogant. I said earlier in James that he warns twice about criticising or defaming others. In verse 9 of James chapter 5 we read, "Don't grumble against one another's brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door." And it's with sadness I have to say that I'm aware of some nasty gossiping, intimidation and bullying that is taking place in our church and our community. I was bullied throughout my entire school life, and I understand the pain that it can cause, and it breaks my heart that it's happening in this church. Truth is, bullies do it because they frighten themselves, because life hasn't turned out the way they hoped it would. And they do it to keep the attention off themselves in case people see them for what they really are. A few weeks ago, God gave me a word of warning for those who choose this path. It's from Proverbs chapter 6. From verse 12, it reads, "A troublemaker and a villain, who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks maliciously with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart. He always stirs up conflict. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceives wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community." That's a warning that if we're given to that lifestyle, if we're given to gossip, God will deal with us. And I urge anyone whose heart has been moved by that passage to humble yourself and repent. Seek his mercy and find forgiveness at the cross that he offers. For those on the receiving end of slander, of defamation, of bullying, of trials, take example from the prophets as suggested in verse 10 and 11. It mentions Job, which most of us know suffered greatly and rather unjustly. But the entire Bible is full of examples of God's people facing trials of all kind. Their stories are there to show us the absolute faithfulness of God. When I'm facing opposition or persecution, I remind myself of what Joshua said to the people of Israel before they entered the promised land in Numbers 14:9. He said, "Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." I love that. Opposition, trials, is bread for us. If you look through the word, you'll see that whenever the people of God were facing persecution, they became stronger. Doesn't it say his strength is made perfect in our weakness? Anything that drives me to my knees, anything that drives me deeper into the Word of God, anything that causes me to cry out to him, only sustains me. anything that causes me to stand on his promises only increases my faith in him. We can trust in his promises. They are yes and amen. He is not a man. He cannot lie. So let us all wait patiently for his return. Amen.